Good evening. All right, well, what we wanted to talk tonight about was crying out to God. And so I kind of went through a little list. Why do we cry out? What are some of the things that make us cry out? And some of these are more mundane things we don't really think about, like surprise, when you're surprised. I'm not a big fan of scary movies personally, but even with all that music coming up, I know something's going to pop out. It still makes me jump. So, and there's, I mean, I just kind of do a little jump, but I know there's those people, you sit next to them in the theaters and they, oh, can't believe that just happened. Another thing that makes us cry out is momentary pain. How many of this, you, does this look familiar here? Hammering something up. Whack! Get your thumb. Oh, man! Or my favorite one is slamming your fingers in the car door. I don't know how many times I've done that, but I even managed the other day, I was in the car closing the door on myself, and I somehow managed to get my right hand stuck in the door. And so, I mean, you can't, it's just an impulse. You cry out. Another thing, needs aren't being met. For example, a baby crying. I'm hungry. I made a mess of myself. The baby cries out. It needs attention. But one of the things I really wanted to focus on tonight was prolonged suffering, or suffering in general. Something's eating at us. A situation that never seems to heal. God, take this away from me. I don't know how much longer I can bear this. So the first scripture I wanted to read is from Lamentations, chapter 3, verses 1 through 20. I am the man who has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He has driven me away and made me walk in darkness rather than light. Indeed, he has turned his hand against me again and again all day long. He has made my skin and my flesh grow old and has broken my bones. He has besieged me and surrounded me with bitterness and hardship. He has made me dwell in darkness like those long dead. He has walled me in so I cannot escape. He has weighed me down with chains. Even when I call out or cry for help, he shuts out my prayer. He has barred my way with blocks of stone. He has made my path crooked. Like a bear lying in wait, like a lion in hiding, he dragged me from the path and mangled me and left me without help. He drew his bow and made me a target for his arrows. He pierced my heart with arrows from his quiver. I became the laughingstock of all my people. They mocked me in song all day long. He has filled me with bitter herbs and salted me with gall. He has broken my teeth with gravel. He has trampled me in the dust. I have been deprived of peace. I have forgotten what prosperity is. So I say, my splendor is gone and all that I had hoped from the Lord. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. We're doing a study right now in the young adults class in the Sunday mornings. It's called Keep Climbing, Why God Doesn't Give You Everything You Want. And one of the chapters it kind of talks about is how life has mountains. No matter how you slice it, even people that have given seemingly everything have mountains that we have to overcome. And so I wanted to read James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Those mountains that we experience, I know a lot of times we cry out to God and we say, get rid of this mountain that's in my way. Why does it hurt this bad? Why can't I get a job? There's tons, everybody has their things. Why are we crying out? We have these mountains, but a lot of times we ask God to move these mountains, get rid of them, make it easy on us. But we can't ask that of God. I mean, maybe he'll move it for us if we can't bear it. But that's developing our perseverance, making you the person that God wants you to be. You may have something that's in your life. I'm not saying God's going to get rid of it if you cry out to him. There may be things that in life that hurt you, things in life that you maybe feel are unfair, things in life that maybe you're not going to understand, and you're not going to have an answer for them right away. But God will help you, and I want to continue with that verse in Lamentations, chapter 3. I'm going to pick up in 21 through 32, and then I'm also going to read 55 through 58. So starting in 21. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning, great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those who hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke while he is young. Let him sit alone in silence, for the Lord has laid it on him. Let him bury his face in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him offer his cheek to one who should strike him, and let him be filled with disgrace. For men are not cast off by the Lord forever. Though he brings grief, he will show compassion. So great is his unfailing love. Then I move over to verse 55. I called on your name, O Lord, from the depth of the pit. You heard my plea. Do not close your ears to my cry for relief. You came near when I called you, and you said, do not fear. O Lord, you took up my case. You redeemed my life. When God redeems our life, when we cry out for help, he will answer you. The answer may not be obvious. I know a lot of times, especially myself, I think I'm going to pray to God, and it's going to be like, poof, there. You want a red Ferrari? Poof, red Ferrari. Whatever it may be, chances are it's not going to be obvious. Sometimes we play the waiting game. Sometimes we don't think, we want it to happen now, but it's not going to happen now. Sometimes I'm not ready for what I want. Sometimes it takes some time. Sometimes the answer we want is not the answer we need. And I want to read in Matthew chapter 26. Sometimes the answer we want is not the answer we need, as shown even by Jesus. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little further, he went with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet, not as I will, but as you will. And lastly, sometimes I'm the answer to someone else's cry for help. Sometimes maybe I'm so focused on me and what I'm going through, there's somebody else next to me that's hurting. And we need to be on the lookout for that and make sure that we're helping each other and helping answer their prayers. That's all I have.
When I was thinking about crying out to God and what makes us cry out to God, one of the things that came to mind was failure. And then I started thinking about what is failure and when do we fail him, and how can we fix that? And I thought of a quote by General George Patton, and I think it kind of summed it up. And he said, I don't measure a man's success by how high he climbs, but how high he bounces when he hits the bottom. I like this quote because we've all made mistakes, and we're all going to make many more mistakes. But instead of dwelling on them and letting them hold us back, I think it's important we learn from them and bounce even higher than we have before. Isn't that what Christianity is about? Isn't Christianity repenting of our sins and crying out to God, God, take over my life, because I know that you will keep me safe and lead me where I need to go. God, lead the way. The Bible gives a great example of this in the book of Jonah, and chapter 1, verses 1 through 16 read, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship, but Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us, and we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lots fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all of this trouble for us? What do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord, because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. They cried to the Lord, "O Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man. For you, O Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the man greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and three nights. Now, I think it's safe to say that Jonah hit rock bottom after being swallowed by the fish. But it wasn't until he was at his lowest that he realized he needed to open up to God and ask him for help. Verses 1 to 10 go on to say, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave, I called for help, and you listened to my cry, and to the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me, all your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, 'I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple.' The engulfing waters threatened me, the deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head, to the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever, but you brought my life up from the pit. O Lord, my God, when my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord." And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Jonah had run away from God, ignored his word, and even worse, did not have faith that God would protect him. But despite his fear, despite his hiding, and despite his lack of faith, God still answered Jonah's cry for help. We have a compassionate God, and for that we should be thankful. In another example, when the Israelites escaped from Egypt, they were lost. They had little food, little water, and a long journey ahead of them. Many were fearful of dying, and some of them had gone as far as to say it would have been better to die in Egypt. But many Israelites prayed to God and asked that he'd protect them. And he answered them with manna, rain, and he created a pillar of cloud to lead them by day and a pillar of fire to lead them by night. The Israelites cried out to God for help, and he led them to a land overflowing with milk and honey. When I think of my journey to God in heaven, I like to picture myself on a road. The road I follow at times can get bumpy, it can get narrow, and sometimes the path can get confusing. But I have comfort in knowing that no matter how hard the road gets or how far I stray from the path, I can never leave the side of God and I can never be out of his earshot. It's never too late to cry out to God, and you can never go too far. Even when Jonah went across the world, God still found him. Because when we fall, God makes us stronger, and I think that's important to test and to really look at what you're looking for in God and just trying to make him happy. God's always there for us, and he's always willing to catch us, and I think that's what crying out's about. It's about having faith and having God catch us. And once again, I think we should all be thankful that we have a compassionate God. Thank you.
So I just want to start off by saying that I know that not one of us are perfect, including myself, although it's hard to believe sometimes. No, I know that I make foolish decisions and I think about things in a kind of a weird way sometimes. And I'm just going to, what I'm doing tonight is my opinion on what I've read in the Bible. So, but what's great about the church is that we can all interpret it in our own way. And I just think that sometimes it's not said that what I'm up here doing is I'm not up here to tell everyone what you should believe, but you should believe what you think. And I'm going to tell you what I think, and maybe you can see it from a different perspective. Or maybe this is your perspective. I'm going to start off by reading Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up. The waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." I know that in my personal life, actually recently, I've been thinking about death, and it's kind of a scary thing sometimes, at least for me, thinking about it. And I can kind of relate to these disciples and how they could be afraid. I think the point of this being in the Bible and reading this, at least for me, Jesus has a point whenever he talks to the disciples and he says to them, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" His point there is he wants the disciples in the boat with him to have complete and absolute faith in Jesus. Complete faith. That even whenever they're in a storm and they're doing what they're supposed to do to try to save their own lives and it's not looking good, they're supposed to have complete and absolute faith in Jesus. Now you take that out of the Bible back whenever this happened and you try to apply it to today. When I try to apply it to today, that's telling me that I need to live my life in a way that I have complete and absolute faith. 100%, no matter what. Faith. Even whenever it looks like things aren't going to work out well, whether that be in a bad situation financially or if it's a life-threatening situation. If you're in a burning plane that's going down, you're supposed to have faith in Jesus. Does that mean, whenever I think about this, does that mean we're not supposed to cry out to Jesus? And I say, I think not. I don't think that that means that whenever we're in trouble, whether it be our life in trouble or whether it be something happening in our lives where we feel like we're in trouble, that we should, I think that we do need to cry out to him in those situations. And he's not saying in this that we shouldn't cry out to him. Although he does say, "Or why are you so afraid? Do you have little faith?" So I'm going to read Matthew chapter 7 through 11. "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks the door will be open. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" So it says clearly right here, Jesus says that if we ask, it will be given to us. Now, whenever I think about this, I'm not so sure if this was the plan, if this is how it would have been. Maybe that ship should have gone down and they all would have drowned. Maybe I'm just saying in a different way. Maybe it wasn't, say, for example, if Jesus wasn't going to die on the cross, and this is how it's going to end for these disciples. They still were to have faith. I don't know if that makes sense, but they're to have absolute faith, whether they know they're going to die or not. If we're in a burning plane that's going to the ground, we're still supposed to have absolute faith. He wasn't upset at the disciples because they cried out to him. It's because they were afraid. They didn't have absolute faith. They were afraid of death. And that's, like I said, something that I've actually struggled with thinking about, that we all are going to die someday. It's kind of weird thinking about. But Jesus doesn't want us to be afraid of death. Matthew 6, 25 through 27. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is it not more important than food and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? So to conclude, whether we're going to die or whether we're going to live, whether those disciples were going to die, whether we're all going to die, whether this is our time or not, we're to have complete and absolute faith and not be afraid. That doesn't mean we can't cry out to God, and which is what tonight is about, is talking about. It doesn't mean that we're not supposed to cry out to him, but we are still to have absolute 100% faith no matter what, that everything will be all right. And we can ask for what we feel like we need or want, but we still are to have 100% absolute faith and not be afraid. And that's what I got from reading that.
That was a really long walk. Well, if you don't know me, my name is Josh Anthony. First off, I'll just, like, if you don't notice how hard it is for me to be up here, like, I really just want to run out that door. Well, I'm not really sure if my message has anything to do with this topic, crying out to God, but just bear with me. Almost. Okay. Well, I've been walking in faith for, I think it's been a year and a half. It's been the strangest year of my life. Like, I never thought I would be here in front of a church giving a message. Well, I'm sure there are many of you who, if you weren't a Christian all your life, I know that before you heard God, that there was just no hope, that there are days you don't have anything to live for. Well, there's been one struggle that I'm still fighting since as long as I could remember. As you all know, I didn't really grow up with my dad. he was married when he met my mom, and, well, apparently he had to cheat on her so that I could come into this world. I mean, with that, I've had so many challenges. I've had so many people hate me for it. So many people persecute me for it. Just to have, like, my peers and family say so many mean things. If it wasn't for God looking out for me, even when I never knew that was God. I never thought about it. I know that he's the only reason I ever made it this far, even before I learned to put any trust in him, before I ever heard anything about him. But he knows my pain. His son was also hated. He was persecuted. But he loved us so much that he gave his life on the cross. Well, as the years went on, I began to shut myself off. There are many things I had to bury in my heart because they were just too painful. There were a lot of times where I just didn't want to be alive, that I just really wanted to end it all. And if I know I wouldn't be alive if there was a God, because I would have taken my life many years ago. It's almost unbelievable. I can't, like, I'm still in awe at how a God could love someone like me. Like, I've done a lot of horrible things. There's been one book that has helped me a lot. It's called The Book of Joshua. I'm sure many of you have read it. One thing I was taught from my other church was to put my name in the scripture like if it was meant for me. Well, because it, of course, it really is a personal message, but it was just easier seeing my name in that book. Even if I couldn't read anything else, I was still always able to read this. Well, I'll just read some verses from the first chapter. Chapter 1, verse 6. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Just hearing that in all that I do, he'll be there to help me. in all my shortcomings, he'll help me to keep me strong in that area. Because if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be speaking to you. I wouldn't even, me personally, I have to sit in the one of the front rows just so I don't see all the people that are here. Earlier this week, I was thinking that it would be like the morning service and it would just be packed. And I was thinking, how am I going to do this? How am I going to speak? But then last night, while I was praying, I remembered in the afternoon, not as many people come. Okay. I mean, how great is God? I mean, he has someone like me speaking in front of people, or sometimes I can't even be at school because there's just I just go crazy from all the voices. Just being around people, it's really hard. And I know that it's only God that allows me to be here with my brothers and sisters in Christ. How great is a God that would love me and just take care of me if even when I didn't care anything about him and I didn't even know he existed. Well, thank you for your time. I hope you have a good evening.
Actually, I'm very, very humbled by that, because what I chose to talk about tonight is relatively personal anyway, but given what I just heard in that testimony, it really it hit me in the heart, because what I took for granted so often and rejected and kicked dirt in the face of is something that so many people want with all of their heart, and it's a beautiful thing. I was reading Judges 10 when Tommy texted me, and I've read Judges a lot, but there was a verse that I was reading that kind of hit me in the mouth, so to speak, this last time, because most of the time I read that book and I think, well, Israel has another name for me. It's John. Been given something great, had it mapped out for you. But what did Israel do? They rejected it, and they boldly neglected and really defiled the gift. I thought, Israel, John. I grew up in this church, and there's so many of you here that have known me since I was a knee-high kid. And I didn't have a dad around, but I was given a lot from this congregation, from this family, support and love. And there was a lot of people that had so much invested in me. And I really did. I have to apologize. I kicked it back at a lot of you, and I kind of spat on you. And I really hate that. I apologize for it. And that's what Israel did time and time again in Judges. They were given this great gift, and they were supposed to be delivered into this land, and they went and they worshipped false gods. But they would come back when it got to be the most dire of times. And it was verse 16 that hit me. So they put away their foreign gods from among them and served the Lord, and he could bear their misery no longer. And it really, to me, was just and completely unfolding testament of the nature of God and the nature of that gift is that he hurts not because we hurt him, but because we hurt ourselves. And part of what I wanted to share tonight was mostly a thank you and also encouragement to you, because we as the church are the voice of God when somebody needs to hear a kind word. And we're the gentle hand when somebody's wounds need to be healed. And we're the heart when somebody cries out. And you've really done that for me. I wouldn't be here if it weren't for that. Because I let my pride get in the way, and I let stupidity get in the way, all in my own heart. And there are many times that I've, out of selfish blindness, wanted to walk away because of my own personal anarchy, I guess. But just like God, I believe that there is a heart that feels my pain in this congregation. And that's why we get to come together and share. And that is where the true nature of the church is. We're God's heart. And there are people crying out. And whether you think it always happens, don't get discouraged, because God's heart's working in you. And it's a beautiful thing. Sorry, I got a little overwhelmed, I guess. But thank you.
I'm going to try to wrap this up fairly quick here. So if you want to open your Bibles to 1 Chronicles chapter 4, we'll get there in a second, but good evening, by the way. Hope everyone's doing good. I've had a few words stuck in my head for about the last month. A few words stuck that I just can't get out of my head. I don't know if anyone's ever had this, but here's the story. I was working at this skilled nursing facility. I guess you could almost call it a convalescent home. And I was working on a fire alarm system out in the hallway, and to my left there's this door that goes into this patient room. And I'm standing there, and I hear someone in there crying. Like, just not crying like a kid that cuts his knee open, but this cry saying, "Ayúdame, padre, aduele, por favor." And you're probably all asking, why is Tommy speaking Spanish? And I'm not fluent in Spanish, but I know a little bit of Spanish. And I know enough to know what this lady was crying. And I poked my head inside that room, looked at this lady, and she kept crying. My heart was broken for two reasons. One, when we work in these places, we're not allowed to help anyone. If someone falls, you're not allowed to help them up because we're not part of the nursing facility. Someone needs a glass of water. You can't get them a glass of water. Two, it just dawned on me. Tommy, when was the last time you cried out to God? When was the last time you said, God, help me? And so let's look at 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 10. And I'm just going to read this verse. It says, Jabez cried out to God of Israel, "Oh, that you will bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me free from harm so that I will be free from pain." And God granted his request. You see, Jabez, he cried out to God. He said, "God, help me. Keep me free from pain. Keep me from harm." And right there at the end, what does it say? God granted his request. You see, I feel there's times where we must cry out to God, where we must get on our hands and knees and stretch our hands out to the Heavenly Father and say, "God, I need forgiveness. I'm a sinner. I need forgiveness." Or, "God, pour your blessings over me. I need help right now. I'm going through something. God, my heart's broken. I need you to heal it." I think that every day we should look up to God rather than looking at ourselves to heal that day's problems. Tommy can't fix squat. God can fix everything. If you don't know Spanish, the word she was crying out was, "Help me, Father. It hurts. Help me, please." And that's why my heart was broken. I don't know the mental state of this lady. She may not have all been there. But I know from the shriek in her voice that she was genuine about that cry. I'm going to offer an invitation, and Doug's going to come up and sing. And that's the time where if you need the prayers of the church, you can come forward for that. If you haven't yet taken on Jesus in baptism, that's a time to come forward. But if you choose to not come forward, if you're sitting in your pew, I want to try something a little different. While we're singing this invitation song, cry out to God. Because if we're honest with ourselves, we all have something down deep inside that maybe we've told one person or two people. Maybe we've told Dave, maybe we told our best friends, or maybe we haven't told anyone. We all have something to cry out to Jesus, cry out to God. May the God of love and forgiveness be with you this week, church, and I hope you all have a wonderful week. Thank you.
I need